Father, in the name of Jesus, we just now approach the Word with reverence. Father, we thank You that through the Word of God, all things can be judged in such a safe manner that, Father, it is impossible for You to render a judgment that would not be worthy of its outcome, because You're such a wonderful Father. And so, Father, today, as I share the Word again with Your wonderful people, may they get a hold of it and run with it as never before, in Jesus' name. Well, last Sunday morning I started talking about some things that I just felt led to deal with the body of Christ on. And that is the fact that, how do we see God? How do we see the Lord? You know, most people only see the Lord from the perspective of the benefit of salvation. I'm saved now and I'm not going to go to hell. The problem with that is that you can't stay stuck there. You've got to move on with God. You've got to know God. That's why when I began to understand the book of 1 John, I got really excited, because I seen the true heart of knowing Him, not just knowing about Him, but know Him. And how successful you can be in your walk with God by knowing Him intimately. Most people only see God as angry, fault-finding, critical, demanding, upset, disappointed, irritable, and short-tempered. And you know something? If your conscience is convicting you, then rightly so. But to remain in that state all the time will do nothing but create an unhealthy walk with you and your Father. He is a Father. Even though that concept is being lost lately, because a lot of children are being raised in a single adult unit rather than having both parties present. But it is important to understand the heart of the Father and get to know Him. First of all, we're living in a negative world, and there's nothing built on trust of any kind that this world has to offer. The only success you're going to have out of this world is to be strong, be tough, be committed to God, let God be in your heart strong, and then face the world and you will succeed. You can't succeed in this world on your own. You need God. We're going to see David and how he succeeded in the world because he had the Lord in his heart. Without Him, he'd have come to ruin real quick. Now, we also have people setting up with false businesses and identity theft. I never heard of that until the last few years, that I could lose my identity. Well, thank God I can't in Christ. I might lose my natural identity in the natural to some idiot, but guess what? I'm still solid in the Lord, and my identity with Him can never be taken. Anybody steals that identity will get saved. Amen. Hebrews 12:2 said that Jesus endured the sin that would so easily beset anybody, and that is to have so many contradiction of sinners surrounding Him. But I like what Jesus said. There was a joy that was set before Him. There was a joy that was set before Him so He could endure anything. And that joy that was set before Him is us. Can you imagine that? God sitting there and being judged, the worst court hearing on the universe, and yet he had a joy that was set before Him. I want you to open up to Romans 15, verse 13, and I want to peg my Lord real good. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Here we go. Now may the God of hope, I like that. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, I love that verse. I like it. That in peace, believing. Most of us have to believe in tragedy. But God wants you to believe in peace. You know, I was talking, Sunday night, I was talking about the identifying what a healthy faith is. And one thing that you can tell whether a person's healthy in their faith or not is when the world confronts them with an unforeseen shock, they survive it. That is the power of God at work within our life. That no matter what you face in life, God will see you through it. It doesn't mean that you'll have all the answers, but nevertheless, listen, God is not withholding a way of escape for anybody when this world hits them in a surprising way. And the world has that ability. The bumper stickers are correct. I don't know whether you find it in the Bible or not, but poop happens. It really does. Some people get this idea that now that they're a Christian, nothing could go wrong. The only way you can live with that is to take up sovereignty thinking. And you don't want to go there. Now, God is not reluctant, grudgingly, or hesitant towards anyone. The truth is, God is eagerly benevolent towards man. He is not miserably tolerated towards us. And listen, most believers feel that if they were in His presence, most people believe that if He was in their presence, God would communicate to them how disappointed He is with them. Now, I shared with you, I had a visitation. I didn't get to go to heaven like Dean did, but I had a visitation of the Lord. He came here. Do you know how that makes you feel? The Lord of the universe, the guy that created the universe, takes time to visit me. And I never will forget when He walked in between those two trees and approached me. I was sitting on a park bench. And the thing that happened to my heart was that I got so convicted when I knew it was the Lord that I couldn't look at Him. I felt such condemnation. I felt so ashamed that I looked down, and I'll never forget His finger touching my chin and forcing me to look up into His face. And I could tell every motion of His faith. If you ever had an experience like this, I could tell He was irritated with me looking down. I knew it within myself. God doesn't want us to feel that way in His presence. It bothers Him. He wants us to feel accepted by Him. Now, I want to share something with you, something for you to think about. You might as well make a note of this. You can't go through life. You can't go through life expecting people to see you the way you want them to see you. You can't go through life expecting people to do what you want them to do for your purpose only. That ain't going to happen, Jack. It don't exist. But some people live life that way and think that way. Thank God for the Lord that work in my heart. He will not allow me to live like that. Matter of fact, David discovered something about the Father that many of us don't understand. But God does not expect us to go through life with a part of Him hidden from us. God expects us to go through life with Him allowing Himself to be fully disclosed before us. You know, Jesus said over there in Matthew 11:29, He said, "Take upon me and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart." It means He's gentle. And He's not high-minded. He doesn't have an attitude. He doesn't have a social position that you cannot feel accepted by. He was saying, if you learn of me, you'll find that you and I can dwell and live together in peace and harmony with one another, so that you can succeed and I can have the fullness of the joy of your fellowship in my life. You know, God craves the fullness of your fellowship in His life. You know, when I was going to Rhema, one of the teachers, he disturbed me a little bit because he kept saying that God could exist without us. Well, that would be fine and dandy, but we wouldn't know that unless we existed. It bothered me because I did not want to feel that God could do without me. I wanted God to really desire me. And you know, that's the heart of everyone, to want to be loved and desired by somebody. And God just don't come off that way. I can do with you or without you. You know, if you don't do your job, God will get somebody else. I'll never forget, we had a memorial service here, and one of the greatest friends that I ever had was very close to me. He loved and respected me and the work, and I'll never forget when another pastor tried to proselyte him, how upset he got. He says, I'm happy with my church and my pastor, thank you. You're just a wonderful man. Just, I loved him so much. And then after the service, I started going to the back there, and a gentleman stopped me and said, Pastor Jan, don't feel the loss that hard, because God will send somebody else to replace him. And I looked right in his face, and there was just an anger that got him. I said, nobody will replace that man. People have value in my life. They didn't at one time, but people have value in my life. There will never be anybody to replace you in my life. Because every one of you are not just a number for a job that has to get done. God says that your life is full of substance, that He desires to possess you and learn all about you, and to be a part of your life, and to work through your life, and to make connection with you. You know, Jesus didn't come on the scene to convict the world of sin only. His main purpose was to expose the heart of the Father to a dying world that didn't know Him. In John chapter 1, turn there, and I want us to look at a verse that is very important that I want you to get a hold of. John chapter 1. Matter of fact, I'll look it out of this one. In John chapter 1, verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. And this is the record of John, that when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask Him, Who art thou? And He confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. But notice this, he says, no man has seen God at any time, but the Son came to declare Him. Well, that word declared is a real interesting word in the Greek. It means to literally lead out in plain view for everyone to see. To lead out in plain view for everyone to see and explain and interpret, report and describe and tell what His Father was all about. That is the goodness of God. And I'm going to tell you something. They had problems back then. We have problems today. But I don't care what theologian steps of the pulpit and said passed away. The problems are still as real yesterday as they are today. And God is the same yesterday as He is today. He met the need back then of mankind. He'll meet the same need of mankind right now today. He's not dead. He's a God of love and compassion. What you crave and desire to have, He craves and desires for you to take a hold of what He's provided for you, to get a hold of it. Amen. That's the way my Father is. I love Him. I love them. That's why the Bible says that before you can even begin to know God, first of all, you have to know. You have to prove what is that perfect and acceptable will of God. You have to have a heart to go after Him with everything that's within you. You know, over the years, John and I have seen people searching for ministry all the time. Ministry this, ministry. We might as well just put them on hold because that's all they're going to see. But I like it this way. Seek and search to know Jesus. Go after knowing Him with everything that's within you. And the rest will take care of itself. It's your connection to God that is more important than your ministry. Thank God my connection with Jesus was greater than my ministry, or I wouldn't have a ministry today. It was my connection with Him that made me stick. Now, turn over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And I want to look at a couple of verses that are very interesting. In 1 John chapter 3, and let's go to verse 20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God that whatever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Did you know that keeping His commandments and doing those things that are pleasing in His sight is good for not only Him, but us? When a person is not right with God, he's miserable. The most unhappy people that I've faced on earth are those who knew God at one time and backed off. They're miserable. There's no place they can go that's the ultimate place to be than back to God. I mean, where else would you go? When you die, you don't go off to some planet someplace where God's not heard of. My gosh, He created the planet. I mean, there's no place you can go but to where God is. But notice what He said. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater in our hearts and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, we have confidence towards God. It means that when you go to God and ask Him for something, you're going to get it because you have the confidence to receive it. Now, if you will, real quick, like, turn over to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to learn something here about the success of even David. Matthew chapter 7. Well, actually, go to chapter 6 first. Chapter 6 first. And let's go to verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's wrong. As we forgave our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Do not allow us to be led into temptation, but to deliver us from the evil one. Do you know that if you go into temptation and allow yourself to go into it, you're subject to the evil one? There is nothing more easily to fall out of fellowship with is a brother and sister in the Lord quicker than the Lord Himself. And yet, that is a dangerous place to be. Very dangerous place to be, because now you're in a legal position with God because you can't love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I want to share something with you that it will just catch you real quick. Like, this is the Lord's Prayer, and it does apply to us today. It's a principle by which we live by today. And He said that if you want to avoid evil, the evil day in your life, then let the will of the kingdom of God be done in you, in the earth, as it is in heaven. And what had happened was, and never picked this up until I've been studying one day that God teaches us in letter form, not scriptures and chapters. He teaches us in letter form. And I didn't realize that chapter 7 was a kickoff of chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer. And what had happened was, we read over there in John chapter 3 that when you go to God and ask Him something, He'll give it to you if your heart doesn't condemn you. Well, we got something happening here, people judging people. And He says, with this kind of judgment, you'll be judged. Because this judgment is katakrino, which literally means a judgment to end fellowship. And God doesn't want us to ever judge something so we can terminate a fellowship. He wants us to judge something so the fellowship can continue on. How many are following what I'm saying? I'm going to teach you something here. He says, how can you sit there and criticize somebody that has a chip in their eye and you got a log in yours? Because the chip is really pressed down, shaking together, and running over in your eyeball. It's a log. These people were going to God and they were asking God for something. It was called, my house is going down the river. Because as you, near the end of chapter 7, we're going to find that the evil day had hit a home whose foundation was built on sand and not solid rock. And so they started asking God and asking God. And then all of a sudden, what happens was, they weren't getting any results, so they began to make an appeal to God off of all their good works. Have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out devils? Have we done many wonderful things, God, in you? What is our problem? And you know what the Lord said? Oh, I want you to catch this word. It helps us to know this chapter. Verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, this is unique, because this word does not mean oida. It's gnosko. It literally meant a knowledge that requires fellowship. A knowledge that increases a bonding process. It means that I never knew you. It didn't mean I don't even know who you are. Because they evidently knew the Lord, because they said, we prophesied in your name. We cast out devils in your name. We've done many wonderful works. He didn't say, no, you hadn't. They were making an appeal because they weren't getting a petition answered. Why? Well, he says, it's because I never knew you. And the word is gnosko, which meant, a better way to translate it would be, I never had an approving relationship with you. I didn't have an approving relationship with you. What does that mean? Well, here's what it means. This word, gnosko, comes off of a Hebrew word that the Hebrews say is a word that is so beautiful. It's an incredible word. So let's turn over to Psalms 139 real quick, like, and I won't be going on much further, but I want to leave you with something to think about. Psalms 139. And I heard a brother tell me one time off this psalm. He says, boy, I'll tell you. He says, if you understand Psalms 139, you better be shook up. Because that psalm tells you that you can't get away with nothing that God doesn't already know about it. And he was coming from a negative connotation. Matter of fact, one of my commentaries, I opened it up and said, this psalm will straighten you out real quick. Well, he was coming from the same negative connotation. But this psalm is not coming from a negative connotation. This psalm is coming from a very positive connotation. And it is a psalm where the psalmist is giving a testimony about how wonderful and beautiful God has been in his life. And here it starts. O Lord, you have searched me. This word search means literally to penetrate and to examine thoroughly because it was permitted for the other party to do so. It literally meant a searching that someone was allowed to do because the recipient in the relationship was willing to open up and let God go into his heart and disclose him. And of course we know it's David, because at the end of the psalm he said, Lord, if there's any wickedness in me, you show me. You have searched me. Why? David permitted God to do that. Do you know what David was? He was a jerk. He was up and down and in and out. But he paid for it through his children. He learned a lesson. I see Solomon's got some women problems here. We better start teaching why David had the woman problem. And so right away he says, Lord, you have searched me. I like this. And known me. You want to learn something really neat? Turn over to Galatians chapter 4. This is really awesome. You know, some people think that when Paul said something, he was just saying something to be saying something stupid or something. Or didn't mean what he meant to say. But when I read it in the Greek, I went into shock. Look at verse 9 of Galatians chapter 4. But now, after you have known God... Actually, in the Greek it says, but now knowing God. Knowing God. Knowing God. But rather, being known by God. Now, that wasn't a mistake that the writer was making it. He was establishing a statement. Not only, do you know God, but I like this, but rather... being known by God. You know what that's saying there? Not only do you know Him, but you know yourself in the relationship you've had with Him. You see, a lot of times we want to know what God's all about, but we don't want to really know what we're all about. But you know what? If God can get into your life and let you know what you're all about, you and Him will stay more attached, more closely, more bonded, and there will be no separation. Because as you discover Him, He will release and let you know your own heart as well, so that He can work with you. Yeah, I think it's real funny, you know, how we go. I'm going to tell you some things that I know a lot of you are getting married. Even my daughter's getting married. Everybody's getting married. That is such a fun time. The time of romance. And Lindsay, what does Aaron do wrong? Nothing. He's perfect. Aaron, what does Lindsay do wrong? Oh, she does everything right. That's why I follow her. Did you know that most relationships in the beginning are one-sided only? What do I mean by that? Most relationships begin in hidden truths, whether they're unintentional or purposeful. Most of the time, you never take a woman out on a date, guys. Being a single guy, you never take a woman on a date, pull up to a drive-in, order your meal and say, now listen, honey, I'm going to tell you everything that's wrong about me. If they find out right away what's wrong with you, they might say, you don't even have to drive me home. I'll get somebody to help you. Isn't that true? You know why Sue and I got married? She learned all there was to know about me before we got married. And her sister said, leave that nut alone. He's a maniac. He's crazy. You know why her and I got married? God told us to. And we didn't even know God at the time. Just worked out that way. Probably Sue was saying, I don't even know why I'm marrying the idiot. I had company. I'm convinced of that. I picked him up in one of them drug things or whatever it was, but I don't know where at. But I had company. Thank God when I got born again, it left. But most of the time, when you hook up with somebody, you don't sit there and tell them your downside. You tell them your upside. Everything about them. You know, when they discover your downside, they live with you for a while. My God, I would have thought. Yeah, I would have taken God. So he says, Lord, you've searched me and known me. This word known is that word gnosko. This word literally means it describes a very deep personal relationship between a person and the one true God. God is able to speak openly to this person. Two people not holding anything back about each other. It literally means two people coming together and willing to disclose each other to each other totally and completely. It is also the word known for sexual relationships. It means everything's laid there. There ain't nothing going to be held back. And this is what it's all about. And listen, if you want a healthy relationship with God, let God speak to you about your own heart. And you will begin to grow spiritually. A lot of us just want to keep God in His little box where He belongs. We want to keep Him in the four church walls and then live any way we want to outside the church wall. We just don't want to face God until we get into the confinement of the four walls. But I'll tell you what, your life will never be happy that way. You'll go to heaven a pauper. And God doesn't want you to. Now notice this. He says, you have searched me and known me. The reason God has searched him is he wanted God to do it. And by permission only, God will search your heart. By permission only. That's why when we get over into Galatians and also 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 3, it literally says that God will not search your heart unless you open your heart up to allow him to do it. Or else he won't do it. That's why over in Matthew there, chapter 7, that's why these guys said, what is the problem here? And God said, I couldn't speak back to, I couldn't show you where your heart was. I couldn't bond with you like I wanted to. That's why you're in the evil that you're in. That's why you're in the conflict. That's why your prayers have not released the storms of life. That doesn't mean that storms won't come. Don't get me wrong. Storms do come to everyone's life. But that's not a sign. That's not a sign that you're without a father. But I'll tell you what, if the storms come and you get burnt by them, or the storms come and you drown through them, then you better check up from the neck up. You got a problem with God speaking back into your heart. So God communicates with us. And He is not the accuser of the brethren. He's the one who speaks back and lets you know the downside that is in you, so you can live in the upside. It's a proven fact the most successful people on planet Earth are those who can build relationships with people. Are you guys getting something? Now, again, I want to remind you of some scriptures out of the New Living Testament. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With His love, He will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful song. Luke 12:32. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you His kingdom. To give you His kingdom. Again, in Ephesians 2:20, it says, for we are His workmanship, poime, literally His created ability in Christ Jesus is what He has done for us. He has put His complete, as far as you can reach, creatability in Christ Jesus for us. You can't get it any better. And so then, without getting into it very deep, He goes on to say, you know my sitting down and my rising up. You know where I live in my weaknesses, and you know when I stand up in my strengths. I like this. You understand my thoughts afar off. You know the way I will think when I don't even know it yet. God gets to know you. Matter of fact, Satan, he's called Diabolos. Literally means one who penetrates through a person because he gets to know them so well. Same setting. Well, I don't know why the devil thought we'd pick on me. Because you got a lot of weaknesses you don't know are existing. That's where we get these strongholds. I used to think strongholds was something the devil put in me, and I found out that strongholds was a fortress I created within myself as my means of protection. Found out that the devil's doorway into my life is those strongholds. Why? Because I created them within myself to protect me and thought I was in a fortress, well fortified, and the devil's right in there with me. Where'd you come from? You're my enemy. Well, I know I helped you build the fort. Yikes! People don't realize the way they think can be their own detriment. It's better to know what God thinks of you and His intentions, whether what you think of yourself and your intentions. Are you guys getting something here out of this? Never question God's ability to be there for you. Never question that. Only question your own heart. Where is your heart? John 17, a prayer that Jesus prayed. And He said that you show them that you love them as much as you've loved me. The four Gospels do not teach us God's power and ability to prove who He was. They do not teach that. I used to read it that way, but I found out God is not doing that. God is teaching us. He's the same in His willingness to love us and meet our needs today that were the same needs when He walked planet Earth. That's why He left the set legate. Oh, He can heal the blind. Oh, whoa, what power? Rather than thinking, wow, He really wanted to see that man receive his sight because he was bowels of compassion just leaked out of him. Yes. Amen. So the man could see. Mm-hmm. You know, the world doesn't have a problem with God having power. The world has a problem with God can love them. Yeah. Amen. But the church has risen up in such stupidity and said, God brought Katrina because of their nasty old sin. Bunch of sinners. Uh-oh. We got to go back to the Bible and find out Jesus died because of a man's sin. So what that does, they become enemies of the cross and teach the world that God will never accept them until they repent. You know why the world's going to hell? Because man chooses the darkness to go there. He likes his darkness more than he likes his light. So he'll build a stronghold to defend his darkness. God says, I want to be light to everybody. Hell hath enlarged itself because of that outer darkness. Where do you think that outer darkness is found? Between your ears. No illumination. So choices are made out of no illumination. Every man has a right to the eternal destiny. It should not be left up to the devil. We'll stop there. I get too worked up. I'm getting too emotional about this and I need to repent. I hate it. I hate it when somebody starts saying God created evil just to get somebody to repent. Hey, is there anybody here not saved? Get up here and we'll break both your legs and you'll cry out for salvation. When I was evangelizing on the coast, a lady came up and asked this evangelist to pray that her husband's arm would get broken so he'd repair. So what does he do? He's a kleptomaniac. And I want his arm broken. The one he steals with. He says, all right, we'll do it. And I'm sitting there, is this God or what? No, this can't be God. Lord, break his arm so he'll never steal again. You know when the evangelist came through the town again? He had the testimony. He broke his arm. Right away. I told you, God will break an arm to get a guy to repent. You know what happened on the inside of me? Neat. Something wrong with this. I think there's more damage in believing that I'd rather leave the guy unsaved until he comes with the right understanding of how to get saved rather than a broken arm. You don't know whether the guy's still sticking with God. He might have received the broken arm, got salvation through it, but his leg got broke next and pelvic crush and everything else, and it goes right back to God all the time. You've got to wonder, hey, what's wrong, God? You just don't leave people to that kind of understanding. We have a devil here. Couldn't you see God tripping the guy so he'd fall and break his arm? I can see the devil doing that. Just so that you would think in that direction. God is good. God is good. God is good. Wednesday night we'll go on these strongholds, and if you got a problem with your stinking thinking, come out Wednesday night. Because we learned some great things last Wednesday night about strongholds. That freed me up more than I've ever known what freedom is about. The problem was I'm my own worst enemy. None of you are. You're perfect, but you guys are so perfect, God uses me to keep you on track. Father, I thank you for your wonderful people this morning. As we partake of communion, Father, if we ever had any negative thoughts towards God of forcing us or coercing us into something, Father, we don't want that to exist in our life. Father, we know that things do happen to our life. But Father, most of all, you want us to know that you are a good God, a good Father. And someday we'll know all things as they really are. And we will probably, Father, rejoice. We will probably rejoice at the outcome of them. But right now we can't know all things. As David said, such knowledge is too high. We can't attain to it. But Father, one day we will see clearly. And we will thank you for it because you are incapable of arranging a wrong judgment over our life. And I thank you that I can trust in that. Amen. That no man will stand before you in judgment without realizing your love was there first to prevent it. Thank you for your love. For it is through your love judgment will come. And I thank you for it. It's not better for all, huh? Father, stand up, everybody. Did you get all the cups and everything? We went way over. Way over. So don't get mad and stay away for a week to pay us back. Father, I thank you for the Word of God, and I thank you for your wonderful people. And Father, as we close this service, if anyone needs prayer for salvation, for restoration, for physical healing, we want to pray for them, Father. Father, we want to care for your body and the needs that it has. And so, Father, as we dismiss this service, if whatever I spoke today or whatever was done rose a conviction in the heart of anyone for furtherment, for advancement in their life, Father, then as we dismiss, may they come forward. And let us minister to them in Jesus' name. And with that said, God bless you.